But it's coming back only for those who have been saved by grace. Although many will expect to go back with him, but their whole lot will not make the trip. And that's what Jesus was talking about in the book of Matthew when he said, not everyone who calls me their Lord.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
Put your
call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
God bless you. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. And turn them, if you will, to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 28. And I want to commence reading at verse 10. Genesis chapter 28, beginning at verse 10, recorded are these words. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. As we look at this dream that Jacob has, it is remarkable, but it is based upon a promise God has made. It was based upon the fact that he was already blessed even before he laid his head down to rest. According to the first verse in the chapter of 28, we see, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And so you're going to recognize that one of the reasons now that Jacob finds himself in this place is because not only is he blessed, but he is charged to move from this present place of Canaan to move into a place that he had been given to go to by his father to take up a wife of those who were of reputable status. Now, one of the things, again, that is helpful to understand is as Jacob here, who has now received the blessing of Isaac, has received the blessing, though it was rightfully and properly the blessing of Esau, his brother. But because, nonetheless, the blessing was given to him, and now it is rightfully his, he leaves under the direction and the charge that's been given to him by his father Isaac to go and to pursue the plan of receiving a wife again from, again, Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother, Laban's brother, or her brother Laban. And Esau, he had issues with, of course, his father now and his mother now, and even with his brother now. And so Jacob himself has some issues underneath the skin, even though he has the pronounced blessing of Esau that was rightfully his upon his life, given to him by his father Isaac. His issue comes in now where he then is moving from his place of known residency, his known place of fellowship and family. He is pursuing the dream and the blessing of God in a whole different way. He finds himself now in pursuit, as the word says in verse 10, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. But he, as he's going there, he takes it upon himself as the sun is setting to rest. Now, keep in mind, he's resting now after, again, receiving the blessing, but yet still being burdened underneath the skin, not having felt that the blessing was truly and purely his by right, but rather by the fact that he himself was filled, his very name was filled with those kind of things that suggest trickery and those things that meant that he was undermining and so forth and so on. But yet, in spite of all of that, he wanted the blessing of the Lord or his father, and he received that, and he wanted the blessing of the Lord to confirm that in his own spirit. So notice here again, the word says he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, or it had become evening time. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it under his head for a pillar, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Now, the next verse begins to unfold again what is so important for us to see, that not only happens to Jacob, but happens to us as well. And sometime, like Jacob, we don't even know when God visits us in a dream. The word says, and he dreamed. May I say to you, first of all, my brothers and sisters, don't always expect that everybody will be able to connect with your dream. He dreamed. This was a personal dream. This was something connected to what God had revealed to him, shown to him. And every now and then, that the reality is that when God ministers to us through dreams, we've got to be cognizant of the fact, sensitive to the fact, that God, sometime when he can't catch us running, he'll catch us resting. He has the ability to show you what he wants to show you when he desires to do so. The word says, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of the God of God ascending and descending on it. Verse 13 says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now listen at this, because again, he is dreaming, and he's dreaming a dream. Again, remember, he's now received the blessing of his father. Abraham has received this blessing. Isaac has received this blessing. Now Jacob has received this blessing, the completion of this trifold blessing. So now, again, God meets him in a personal sense. Now he's dreaming. As he's dreaming, he sees there is a ladder on earth, but the ladder extends all the way to heaven. At the top of the ladder is God himself looking down. But while God is looking down, there are angels going down, and then those who are down are coming back up. Somebody said that God was bringing down the blessings that he had, and others were bringing the reports back up to God. However it was, the record is that angels were going down and coming up. And at the top of that stood God himself looking down. Now look at this word, because I want you to see it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, this is God speaking, I am the Lord God of Abraham. Let me identify who I am at the top of this ladder, this place where it reaches all the way up to my throne, to my place of dwelling. And he tells him who he is, and he's familiar with, listen, the God of his father Isaac and the God of his great his grandfather Abraham, but he's not familiar with him himself. And you see, I got to say this because a whole lot of you don't recognize that just because mama and big mama and dad and granddad and all of them know him, it does not in any way suggest that you have him because they have him. You have got to discover God for yourself. The blessing that was passed upon Jacob from his father Isaac and from his father Abraham came as a direct blessing from God, but he received that blessing from God indirectly. Now he is now getting again to understand who it is who's doing the blessing. And God identifies himself as the one who is at the top doing this. Look at what he says, verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I, not your daddy or your granddaddy, will give, and to thy seed. Now I'm going to pass it on even beyond you. Verse 14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Well, this is what he told Abraham. This is what he told Isaac. And now he's telling Jacob. And thou shalt spread abroad, listen now, to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now listen at God now, continuing on his pattern. One of the things that you must note about God is that God does not change. He remains constant. He is consistent with what he says and what he does. The promise he made to Abraham, he's now making it to Jacob, and he's making clear he understands God is about increase and growth and development. He does not stand still and is stagnant. He is telling him, look at how far he's going to spread his posterity. Look again at how he's telling him from the north to the south, the east to the west. All of these things he's saying that your seed shall grow and all families of the earth shall be blessed. Not some, all. Verse 15, and behold, I am with thee. See right there, that was enough to shout on right there. Because God is with him and because God is with us, what we have is a revelation and a reality of him being with us. Now, not only is he going to be with us, the word says, and with him, and will keep thee. And will keep thee. Now that's one of the reasons why David shouted when he was getting ready to go through the valley, because when he knew God was with him, he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In other words, he could have said it this way, thy rod and thy staff, they keep me. I'm trying to help somebody understand, if God is with you, then he will keep you. But look at where he's going to keep you, and this is important. In all places whither thou goest. Now the blessed privilege of having him with you in his presence and his power and his protection and his provisions and the peace that goes underneath the skin is, if I'm at home, he's going to keep me home. If I leave and go around town, he's going to be with me around town. If I leave the city, the state, even this nation, going some other places traveling, if he's with me, he's going to keep me and protect me wherever I journey. Listen at this, listen. The word says, and will bring thee again into this land. Now, listen at God talking to him, because he has the directions to leave his homeland and he's in pursuit of what he is after now. He's going to get a wife that his father has instructed him of, and he's also blessed and been given the blessing to him of his Father, and now God is confirming the blessing upon his life. And so now the peace underneath the skin comes in that he knows God has honored the blessing that has been spoken upon his life by his Father. Now he also knows this. His concern is, my brother wants to kill me. But because I got the birthright from him in a scandalous way, in an undermining way. And yet now, here is his issue. He knows that because this has happened, he's having to leave home, and his ideology is, as long as his brother is alive, I may not ever be able to go back home. But look, God is addressing an issue underneath his skin when he tells him, I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now, God is making clear everything that I promised you, and I thank him for that, because this is one of the things when you receive a vision of God, when you receive a command of God to be blessed and or to do an action that he himself has ordered you to do. One of the things that God says is, you don't need to worry about what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. If I promise that I'm going to handle you and everything connected to you, you need to know that if I've begun this work in you, I'm not going to leave you till it's through. A good illustration of that was Jonah, when God had begun this work in him, told him, you know the story, to go to Nineveh. He decided to go a different place, but what he didn't realize is he didn't start the work, God did. And God is too faithful, because God himself called him and anointed him and appointed him to do what he had called him to do. So having done this, he made clear that he was going to complete this work. Now, all the things that Jonah did to try not to complete what God said he would do, what did happen in the end?
Yes.
Everything that God did, he rearranged his life and brought it right back into the fruition of the promise of God. If God has said you're going to do something, the only way you don't do it is if God changes his mind. He don't care nothing about you getting mad. He don't care nothing about you deciding you don't want to go. He's got all the time in the world. You're the one with limited time. If you don't do it while you're young, you'll do it when you're old. You don't do it when you're well, you'll do it when you're sick. I mean, sooner or later, he's going to get you. He's called you to preach when you're young. You keep running before you die, you're going to preach at least one time. I'm just trying to help you understand that what God has for you and what God has assigned unto you, God's going to see that it is completed. Now, here's another thing you need to know. The devil can't touch you nor take you out of here till you're through with what God has assigned you to do. Now listen at this. Verse 16 says, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Now look at here. Look at this here. And I knew it not. One of the things that Jacob recognized, my brothers and sisters, is this, that he thought he had a dream. But the only reason why he thought he had a dream was because he was asleep.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
But he sooner recognized when he woke up that it wasn't just a dream, but it was a revelation of a vision. Now, there is a difference there. Listen, visions come from God to you. Dreams, God still deals with them and he gives them, but dreams are things that bring about the reality of what God can do, what God will do, but not necessarily what God has promised to do. One of the things that you've got to recognize is that Jacob recognized was that God met with him while he was asleep, but gave him the revelation of him blessing him and anointing him and causing him to understand that the blessing blessing that is upon his life is a confirmed reality that God himself came to bear witness to the fact that I'm going to do everything I promised your grandfather, your daddy, and now you. And so listen again, because they had had contact and revelation with God, they had a relationship with God, it was now time for him to move in that reality of having a relationship with God. So the word says here again that he did not know that God was already there. Yes. And Jacob waked out of his sleep and he said, surely, somebody say surely. That means this is not just a dream, it's a reality. Surely it's a revelation. It is the reality of the fact that the Lord, now notice he didn't say was. He said is. In other words, the essence of his spirit was still dwelling there, that confirmation of God's presence, and yet what God promised him was still very much alive. In this place, and I knew it not. I got news for you. There are Sunday morning experiences where the Lord shows up and he's working and moving powerfully, and some of you don't even know he's here. Look at what he goes on to say. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. Now, dreadful not in the sense of dread in terms of evil, but dreadful in the place of fear and reverence and respect of the fact that the presence of God was in this place. Notice he says, this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Right there in that place where God visited, Jacob saw and understood after he woke up that God had visited him. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we don't recognize when God is speaking and God is dealing with us and God is ministering, and we think it's a dream, or we think it's a figment of our imagination, or we think it's something that we have conjured up. But one of the things that is real and relevant about the visitation of the Lord, God can never ever show up and in the end you not know he was there. Something happens either during or after the experience of the visitation of God. Look again now. He did something that was very important for us to understand. Even if it's a dream, even if it's a revelation in a vision while he is yet unaware in terms of his consciousness. Paul was in a state of being where he didn't know whether he was dreaming or daydreaming. He didn't know whether or not he was asleep or awake, because when God showed him the third heaven experience, he himself was so awed by the vision that God had given him until he could not decipher in his consciousness whether or not, because of the glory of God, he was awake or whether God had just simply engulfed him in a vision. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, to be caught up in God's presence leaves you somewhat speechless and awed at his greatness. Here is Jacob now recognizing that the dream and or slash vision was real. What do you do when you realize it's real? You get up. You see, a whole lot of us like to keep on dreaming and do an extended version of the dream. But the dream cannot come to reality until you wake up. And then after you wake up, you got to get up. And then after you get up, you got to get busy. And I want you to see how Jacob deals with this. The Bible says in verse 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning. Now, obviously, God visited him in the nighttime hours, but it was so powerful and magnanimous that he didn't sleep late. He got up early. But when you know something is on the way that's going to be a blessing to your life, you can't sleep till noontime. You got a reason to get up. It's something far greater than just laying there all day and trying to redream the dream and dealing with it from a pseudo level. Look at what he goes on to say. The Bible says, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar or a monument and poured all upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Now, Bethel meant the house of God. Now, listen at what he does now, because he recognizes not then, not during, but after God's visitation to him. Sometimes we don't catch it while God is doing it. That's why when I preach and I tell you, you'll catch this on your way home.
You might catch this next week. It may be months where you really get it. But when you catch it, something's going to happen to you. Jacob happened to have caught it after he woke up. Now listen at this, because now the record says as he gets up, he does something about it. He honors God because he recognizes it wasn't just a dream, but a vision of what God was going to do in his life. Now remember now, he's just coming into this place of really knowing God for himself, and I'm going to show you in Scripture, because there is a challenge yet that he makes to God who has just confirmed the blessing upon his life. Now the word says this, and he called the name of that place Bethel, verse 19, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me. Now look at verse 15. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now look at what he says. And if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Mm. Jacob said, I know my daddy know him, and I know my granddaddy know him, but I don't know him like that. And before I just accept him as being my God, believing what he has said, yes, I just got through hearing what he said. That's why he again reiterates what God has said to him, making it sure that if God is God, he's going to back up what he said. Now listen at this, because he's trying God. Now I want to tell you something, my brothers and sisters. If you don't have sense to at least trust him, you ought to at least try him. Jacob couldn't trust him right now because he had never had an experience with him there. But God made a promise. God said, I'm with you. Jacob said, you really with me? Well, if you are really with me, I want you to help me do what you say you're going to do for me and bring me where you say you're going to bring me. Bring me back. Give me something to eat. Put some clothes on my body. Bring me back to my land. Let me get back to the place where I really desire to be. And if you do all of that, then I'll let you be my God. Oh, my brothers and sisters, don't look strange at Jacob, because you've tried God also. You put him to the test. You've asked him to do some things, and if he would do some things, you would do some things. The old saints used to say, listen, God, if you save my soul, I'll serve you till I die. Some folk have trusted him for some things and didn't have to put him to the test, but others had to try him first, and Gideon had to try him, but he couldn't trust him. But I'm here to tell you, he's big enough to back up everything he says. If you can't trust him, he's still big enough to let you see, even if you try him, he can still do what he said he'll do. I want to say this to you, my brothers and sisters, because there are times that God sends us in a strange land. And sometimes the strange land is a geographical land. It's a different place. But then sometimes it's a strange land within our own land. It's an unfamiliar territory. Here Jacob was going into a new place, not just physically, but spiritually. And he didn't recognize that what God was going to do in him, what God was going to do through him, what God was going to do for him was going to be done because God spoke it upon his life. And a whole lot of you don't realize that when God says, I'm with you, notice God didn't say, you're with me. Somebody ain't getting this right now. God attached himself to you. And because he has attached himself to you, that's his word. And if it's his word, that's his bond. And if God has again ascribed himself to you and given himself to you, it is up to God to do what God said he's going to do. And little did Jacob know that God was going to do it whether he believed it or not. Because his word had already promised he was going to do that since his grandfather Abraham. Sit down, let me just look at what it says. And this is interesting, begin, because he says, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Now, this is important. Remember again now, Jacob has robbed, in essence, Esau of his birthright. So he's leaving his father's house, not in peace.